another fantastic Loftus Party podcast. You guys, I'm in Vermont. It is crazy fantastic up here. Never been before. So it might sound a little bit different because I'm in like a cool like art loft. And when you're in an art loft, you sound a little echoey and cooler. So it's fantastic. Working on some stuff, little side project, little music stuff that I'm very stoked about. But holy smokes. Have you ever been up here, Gimlet?
No, I do not believe so.
You gotta go. I'm telling you. So I drove from New York up to my friend's place up here in Vermont. And I am telling you, once you get Manhattan in the rearview mirror, it's like something out of a dream. The freeways are so clean. It's insane. Either side, it's like driving through a giant forest on either for the first couple of, well, almost the entire 4 hours. It's just gorgeous. Drove through the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Park, which was absolutely stunning. And then went through the Donald Trump Park. Absolutely stunning. The whole drive up here, it's insanely beautiful. So I'm in a really good spot. Haven't seen a bunch of the news, but it looks like as I dip in, as I look at Twitter and stuff, it looks like it's the same. It looks like the same. Here's my guess for what's going on. The whole Israeli thing is still going on. People are still fighting about masks. Critical race theory is still a big thing. Vaccines are still, that's still major controversy there. And states are finally opening up. Am I anywhere close?
I think so. I mean, I don't keep track of who's open and who's closed because we've been open for so long. Like, yes. Literally, I was at a huge festival yesterday. Nobody Ooh. Was wearing a mask.
What was the festival?
My town has renovated this old mill. I think it was a textile mill.
Sweet.
And so now there's a bunch of stores and a brewery and a couple restaurants. And they have this big green with a little tiny amphitheater stage where they have bands on Saturday afternoon. And then
that's fantastic.
Vendors come in. And yeah, so it's fun.
So did you get into trouble? What'd you do? Did you have some little local brewery stuff, some local food? Was there a band? What were you doing? What were you getting into?
I had a couple beers. Didn't eat down there because I had stuff to cook at home. Found a wonderful couple of bakery kind of things that will be great for my daughter because she's got a gluten allergy. So excited about that. They're new. Found a great new coffee roaster.
Nice.
So that's good. Yep. Young girl, 30 years old, started her own business. I love supporting that.
That's great. So, that's the best.
Hung out with a couple of our friends, just sat there, chewed fat, listened to the music. It was good.
I like it when they repurpose old buildings like that. Like, listen, that's not going to be a textile mill again. But instead of knocking it down, let's turn it into something cool. I love crap like that. And we need more of it. You guys probably know this, you listen to the show. I hate any architecture past probably 1950. It's just that big giant steel box with the reflective windows. It's just soulless, horrible, hot garbage. I like the old stuff.
One of our other mills that was in town, they turned it into the apartments in New York City that are in the old industrial areas with the big windows and all that.
Yeah.
I actually have one of those in my tiny little town.
Oh my gosh, whatever. We could talk architecture seriously for days and days and days. One of the things I got suckered into this group when I was in high school, Central Ohio Landmarks Foundation. And it was my first foray into politics accidentally, but there's all these beautiful old buildings in Columbus, Ohio, and they were going to knock a bunch of them down and build these big giant shoe boxes with the reflective windows. You see them everywhere. And so we did our best. We saved a bunch of these buildings and then actually passed, got some legislation passed, which gave people a big tax credit for just leave. You can gut the building on the inside, but leave the exterior, leave as much cool stuff as you want, but you can refurbish the inside, you can repurpose, and we got people a tax break. And I was like, that was my first, that was my introduction to like, wow, people can actually change things and make a difference. And it's like, we saved some cool stuff. So I always, always dig that. Check this out. I have, I had my first, when driving up here, first of all, just blown away by the scenery, just blown away by the greenery and everything. I pull over to a gas station to get some snacks, to get me some Diet Pepsi and some combos. Combos, the best snack I think ever invented. It's going to be hard to beat the combo. I pull up at the gas station. There's a person coming out not wearing a mask. Another person comes out not wearing a mask. And another. And I'm like, I'm going for it too. No mask. Go in. It was fantastic. Now, the dudes behind the counter, they were all masked up. They were like terrified. But like the no mask people had descended upon this gas station like a swarm of locusts. It was great. Well, it was like naked in public.
It was actually funny because I haven't gone into Walmart like since the beginning of the pandemic because I just refuse. I'm not putting a diaper on my face. I'm not. Yeah. The only place I have willingly done it is the doctor's office. I get why they're doing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, like literally in the bank, I'm like, there's plexiglass between you and me and you're wearing a mask. Why do I need one? This stuff is like 6 feet tall. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So. Yeah. Anyway, yesterday went into Walmart for the first time in months. And I was like, yeah.
Nobody was masked up?
Nobody.
It's great. And a big shout out to whoever coined the phrase, there's a diaper on your face. Why do you have a diaper on your face? That is, I think that's done more for the no mask movement than anything. Cause it's right? Like, when you say that, hey, why do you have a diaper on your face? It's just automatic. There's like, an infant, you're calling somebody like a little baby. And it's associated with poop and pee and you got it on your face. It's like the perfect little, it's like a real carefree insult. It's a very nice, subtle insult. Why do you have a diaper?
They're the perfect allegory too. Cause you have disposable diapers, you have cloth diapers. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Was watching, Gutfeld and Chadwick Moore was on, and I like this one too. The face mask is the liberal MAGA hat.
you also know someone else who was on Gutfeld who made that point a few weeks
ago. Did I miss you?
Yes, you did, darling. Yes, you did.
That's hilarious. I catch most of them.
That's hilarious. I'm out there. I got to get up on the cross here for a second. I'm out there weeks ago saying that on Gutfeld. The insight you can only get from yours truly goes right over your head. You don't even notice. You don't even care. Oh, but your hero, Chadwick Moore, says it. Chadwick Moore, your favorite, your boyfriend. Why don't you marry him if you love him so much?
He's gay.
All right. So there's that. But yeah,
he's the editor of Outspoken magazine, so I'm thinking that's probably not going to happen.
But I made that point a month ago.
How many mornings do you wake up with a text from me about like what cracked me up that you said on Gutfeld? I missed one. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's just when it's like you're rubbing my nose at it. Ooh, Chadwick Moore said this very insightful thing. He's right. I'm right. We're right. That's exactly what a mask is now. That's all it is. It is just it's a symbol of I'm on the side of the liberals. I'm on the side of Joe Biden. I'm on the side of fear. And it's kind of good in a way because you can see him coming.
Yeah, the only thing that really drives me batty now, because I have seen it a couple times even here, and I want to grab these people by the front of their shirt and say, what are you doing? It'll be an adult who's clearly vaccinated, walking around without a mask, and they've got a mask on their 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I just want to walk up and rip the mask off that child's face and ask them how stupid they are.
It's horrible with the little kids, and that's the other, like, so much of this whole thing has been completely insane. And so, I mean, it's just so much. But like a little kid wearing a mask, a teenager wearing a mask, a 20-year-old wearing a mask, mm-hmm. unless there's some kind of underlying health issue, it's a billboard to perpetuate, you know, the fear and all that stuff. It's just, it is no bueno. It is no bueno.
I'm sitting there today and I'm seeing all these tweets. Well, it was the novel virus. We hadn't handled one of those. Stop saying that. This is a coronavirus. So was SARS. So was MERS. And so are about four other strains that have been circulating for decades. We know a lot about them, actually. And we know that COVID unlocks your cells the exact same way SARS did. We had a head start. Oh, by the way, H1N1 was in 2009, and all the same people were in charge. Don't tell me that people didn't have experience. Don't tell me. Anthony Fauci's been in the government for 50 years.
That's what takes me to conspiracy theory town. That's what... Uh-huh. The road to conspiracy theory town is wide open and well lit, and it's not a far leap to make. There's nothing... Like telling people to stay inside, the lockdown, don't go outside, stay in your home, breathe that recirculated air. Like, they knew that was bad from the freaking Spanish flu.
Yep.
And so, yeah, none of this. The only mystery here is the why. The only mystery here is, in my opinion, how exactly did it get out of the Wuhan lab? Go ahead.
I was going to say, Ant, I think that question could be answered by a really deep dive into 10 days worth of Anthony Fauci's communications. Somewhere between February 28th of 2020 and March 16th, when he went and sat in front of Congress, he completely flipped on the whole thing. He was trying to keep people calm. He said, I think that the infection fatality rate, I mean, he wrote this in the New England Journal of Medicine. Think the infection fatality rate will probably be like a pandemic flu. Americans don't need to, you know, change their habits right now. Just, you know, keep your distance a little bit. Wash your hands. Don't touch mm-hmm. your face. Da 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 da. And then he goes to Congress on March 16th, and it's like the bubonic plague, and everything shut down that night. The NBA canceled their stuff. College basketball canceled. So what happened between February 28th? And March 16th, who did you talk to? What did you find out? Like, I want to know. I think that deserves a commission way before January 6th does.
The fact that they're still going after the January 6th thing, it's like, I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be shocked because, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. That's the mantra from the left. And they will make a meal out of the smallest thing and the biggest thing. Look at what they're doing now. Look with COVID and the Wuhan. It's like, oh, we got to do mail-in ballots and we got to do this. And the government will tell you which businesses are going to succeed and which ones are going to fail. And some of these changes have to be permanent. We'll tell you when you can go outside, all this stuff. And they are making a meal out of the Capitol, you know, January 6th, whatever the hell.
There's only one question we need answered.
What's up with the guy with the horn hat? No, what?
No, actually two. Who killed Ashley Babbitt?
Yes.
Number one. And number two, who told the Capitol Police, no, we're not bringing in any more National or any additional guards? The Capitol Police asked for National Guard assistance. President Trump offered National Guard assistance. Who turned it down and why?
Yes. And once again, just like, you know, the Wuhan and COVID, like none of it holds up under scrutiny. I've seen way too many videos of like cops pulling back the
Waving them
barricades
in.
and waving people in. And then you see cops and people who are protesting, you know, and the protesters as as an intermediary, the one with the kid has a megaphone and he's talking to everybody. He's like, listen, we're talking to the police and they're kind of worried. So we have to be really cool, you guys. We have to be, it's like, we're supposed to believe that this was like an armed insurrection and these Trumpers were literally trying to overthrow the government. And what, nobody brought guns? Nobody brought guns? And the damage that was done was cleaned up in 4 hours. It's the talk about the big lie. It's
Well, did you see the idiots in the House just passed a $1.9 billion bill to fortify the Capitol?
yeah, I like
I don't
what's
get
in
it.
that? What are they gonna do? Make the fence permanent? What's the
I think
plan?
they're going to build a moat. I mean, they are literally spending your taxpayer dollars to keep you out of the people's house.
So, did you say 1.9 billion?
No, trillion. Was
No,
it
no.
billion or trillion?
Just to
No.
fortify the Capitol.
Now I gotta remember.
It
We'll
can't
go
be
with
trillion.
billion.
It can't. But you don't. No way. They did 1.9 trillion to
Yeah,
fortify
no,
the
it,
Capitol.
you're right.
That's
It's billion. I'm confusing it with Corona relief. But it
right.
was 1.9 billion.
They're so casual with these numbers now. It's like, how sad? How sad is it that we just had that little, wait, was it a billion or a trillion? I don't know. It could have been. No, it couldn't be a trillion. It was probably a billion. Holy crap. Holy crap. Why are we talking about $2 billion to fortify the Capitol? It's complete and total madness.
Because they're scared, because they know people hate what they're doing.
Oh, I know the why. I know the why they're doing it, but that it got through is just is horrible. Is
Well,
just
it only
absolutely
got through the
horrible.
House. I think it'll be filibustered in the Senate. I think Mitch McConnell's gonna be like, you're out of your freaking tree.
I hope so. I hope so. And let's keep you know what? It's weird. I kind of feel bad for Joe Manchin, and I kind of feel bad for Kyrsten Sinema because they're gonna get beat the snot's going to get beaten out of them on the left, and they are like the hope
Oh.
of people like you and I. Like, well, Kyrsten Sinema, she'll stand up for this. She'll and like
Okay,
it's like we're
so
praising her for being a traitor to her cause.
it's not even that I'm praising her for being a traitor to her cause. There are some purple districts where a Republican will break with the Republican Party on certain issues that aren't like
Yeah.
bedrock issues that I'm okay with because they have to please their constituency, right? Like,
Yes.
we got Lucy McBath down here in Georgia 6. If she votes for this crazy gun control bill, I'm going to beat her about the head and shoulders with it at every town hall during the election.
Yeah.
Because gun ownership in Georgia is a bipartisan issue. It's not a, we all agree, right?
Yeah.
We like them. And, but I mean, Kyrsten Sinema, if she does some of this stuff, she's going to get voted out in Arizona. It's a purple state.
Yeah.
If
Yeah.
she
Well,
goes too
same
far
thing with
left,
Joe
she's done.
Manchin.
And same with Joe. I mean, they have to do this to remain in the body. Now, if the Democrats don't care and they're willing to give up those seats, pressure them all you like, but they can't sell that back home.
Yes. Yes.
So.
It's the wonderful thing about our system of government. It's the wonderful thing about, like, yes, you've got to get reelected in your home state, and that's what, you know, hopefully will save us. In terms of being able to hang on and not doing House Resolution One and all this other madness, but like just as a human being, if I would just, I don't know why I feel bad for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. I want them to do the right thing. I want them to be on our side. But just like when they get up and they look at the paper and they're like, Jesus, could these Republicans please just shut up for a second about how I'm going to help them? Could they just give me a break? For a second.
Well, But I mean, I think it's rather funny because the first thing the radical left decides to do, right, is we're taking out Cinnamon Manchin. We're going to primary him.
Yeah.
Please, please put a rabid leftist in. Please do that with your activist base so we can have those two Senate seats. Because a radical leftist is not going to win in either one of those states.
Boy, I hope you're right. Okay.
And not, I know you like, I know you like Kyrsten Sinema and you would like to lean on her, but, so I'd like, you know, if we're going to have a Democrat, I'd prefer her.
Yes. As would I. As would I. I would like, I need to do a one-on-one with, Kyrsten Sinema. Talk about those boots. Talk about those skirts. Talk about, what do you do when you're not at the Capitol? What do you do? What does Kyrsten Sinema do when she's not on the clock? Okay, we're going to take a little break. We're coming back. We got to talk about Tex-ass. We got to talk about critical race theory, what they just did in Texas. We're going to talk a little about, we got to talk about Israel. This is like, I don't know if you guys watched that clip with Dan Bongino and Geraldo Rivera and blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So stick around. We'll be right back. There's so much more. And there's going to be What's on the Web with Paul in just two segments away. Hang in.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
What a show. We continue on. We can't be stopped. We got to talk about Texas. We got about Texas has drawn the line in the sand when it comes to critical race theory. I couldn't dig it more. But I don't think they were the first state. You would probably know more about this than I would. I think other states have already jumped in to say ixnay on the itical craze race theory A. It was horrible pickup.
I know that... DeSantis has done it by executive order for now until the legislature comes back in session.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee has a law that that needs the governor's signature, and the teachers are really fighting back and say, well, we're just going to do it anyway. I'm like, no, you work for us. Like, there's a lesson that needs to be learned here for these public schools. You exist at the benevolence of the taxpayer. Stop
yes.
it. Yeah. So I'm working with a group, and there's a couple of them. One of them is Moms for Liberty. The other one, which they need to change their name because this is not a partisan issue. Hate to say it, but kind of like we used to talk about the Eagle and all that. Yeah, let's not do that. This is a bigger issue than just conservatism. And then I have another one that I work with, No Left Turn. And we're all about replacing activist school board members and educating parents. So, and crowdfunding lawsuits if we have to. So, but Texas's law was unique in my mind because of the way they phrased it. You will not teach the elements of the bill are you will not teach curriculum that does X, Y, and Z. So it's not just like, we're going to ban critical race theory. They really, the person who authored that bill really took the time to define what it was.
Good.
And did it rather well. Now, of course, the New York Times is melting down and HuffPost is melting down because, oh my God, Texas isn't going to be able to teach about slavery and the civil rights movement. That's not what this is. Like, yeah. Everybody is trying to conflate critical race theory with the 1619 Project. The 1619 Project is based on critical race theory. The lens through which they're viewing history is critical race theory. Yeah. Critical race theory by itself is a lens or a worldview that assigns characteristics, motives, and guilts and roles in society based solely on how you look.
Yes,
so it's a worldview. It's a worldview that does that. And it's in every subject. It's in math. It's in science. It's in history. It's in English. It's not just the 1619 Project. And I think a lot of people are conflating that.
That's what really blew me away. And I thought it was like a Babylon Bee or an Onion thing. But when they're talking about critical race theory and mathematics, and you're like, wait, what? How? Like, 2 and 2 is 4.
Well, did you see how?
Well, there's like these bizarre leaps that I don't, like, I can't, like, one was like, say something with mathematics, don't be too focused on the correct result, that, like, that's a white people thing.
That's white supremacy. So is showing your work.
Right.
So when you're learning to add and multiply and using really big numbers, you're not, like, how do you learn how to do that without going through the steps and showing your work?
That's the part where it's like, it's completely off the rails. When you start telling me that, like, math is racist, that's just, okay, we got to stop. Now it's dangerous because, like, you guys, I know you're all fired up and everything, but, like, I gotta get this rocket to Mars, so I gotta do some racist math while you guys are fighting. Like, some shit you just can't play around with. And like
bridges? Math. Bridges.
Right?
I would like those calculated correctly. I'm very focused on the right answer for what that bridge can hold.
Yes, I know. This might sound racist to you, but that airplane, it's going to have a couple hundred people on it. I think we can go ahead and, like, show our work.
That'd be fabulous.
I think. Yeah. Just like, so, yeah.
I mean, but, and it's not just critical race theory, and this is the next thing these states are going to have to deal with. It's also the sexual education curriculum. I hadn't jumped like foot first into that because I've been so focused on the other, because it is just so anti-American. It's just Marxist bullshit, and I don't want it in my schools. So I was really focused on that. But one of the meetings I went to, a woman went through elements of what's going on in sex ed. And it was validated by other parents in the room, conversations that their children have had come home and had. And I'm just like, oh no, that needs to stop. That needs to stop.
I can't even think, like, what are some of those, like, the shocking things that they're trying to teach kids?
Like, one woman said that her daughter came home and said, was, you know, saying that some of her friends were having sex. She was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom asked her, well, are they worried about getting pregnant? Are they protecting themselves? And the daughter, like, looked at the mother with a straight face and said, well, they can't get pregnant. And they're still virgins. They're having anal sex. That's what the kids are being taught.
Well, yeah, that's the classic, like mythology of, like, you know, that was always the, you know, like, oh, Catholic girls, they're going to save their virginity, so they'll give you the backstage pass, which
I mean, like, now it's like the daughter explained where they had heard that and why they were told that in the context of whatever science, health, or wherever they're inserting, you know, sex ed at this point. And I mean, it's literally, they've taken it from the myth to the classroom. And
it's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I know, like Teen Cosmo, like, did an article about that, like, a year ago. Like, here's how you do butt stuff. But, you know, we could probably hold off on that till we're a little older.
Maybe that would be good. Yeah.
I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm not judging anybody. You might want to hold off. I don't know if the 13-year-olds need to know the ins and outs.
Well,
here's
my thing.
Ooh, you have a thing.
I have a thing. Our friend of the show, Michael Knowles, we've had him on, right?
Yeah. Good guy.
And I keep seeing these idiots on Twitter and even some conservatives saying, we don't ban. This is academic freedom. No, 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 no. In some things, we just say that is not an acceptable. That's not acceptable, because he uses this quote from G.K. Chesterton, and I think it's perfect when he talks about this. There is a thought that stops thought, and that is the only thought that must be stopped. If you're willing to look at a child and say, because you're white, you're an oppressor, you're automatically racist, either consciously or unconsciously, okay?
Yeah.
And start making them play these roles in the real world, and you're looking at black and brown children and saying, you're oppressed, the world is against you, and you have no agency. Everything that happens to you is because of these people. And oh, by the way, over here with the white people now are the Asians and the Jews, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying. So that stops all thought. That stops all critical thinking. That stops everything. And so it just needs to be killed with fire.
Yes. Yes.
This is not academic freedom. It's indoctrination, and it needs to go.
And whatever that legislation is that they did in Texas, if it's as finely crafted and well thought out and blah, 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 they need to start passing that around. Like, hey, you guys, you might like let other states copy your work. This is why you have to show your work, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I mean, they actually specifically say things like, you're not allowed to use curriculum that teaches one group of children that they're racist consciously or unconsciously.
Yes. And
I mean, it actually calls that out as a, you're not allowed to say that one, you're not allowed to assign societal roles as oppressed and oppressor to children based on their skin color.
Yes.
I mean, it's specific. It's specific, and I love it.
There's just no, and like, it's the only thing that you get is discord and hurt feelings. And it's just a recipe for disaster. Like, what other than making someone feel bad and feeling like the world is either out to get them or they feel bad because they're accidentally out to, it's like, what is the upside to any of this, to any of it?
Well, none, but it's what they want.
Yes.
I mean, this is a radical, radical curriculum based on ideas that have come into the forefront through people like Ibram X. Kendi, who literally say we have to solve past discrimination with present discrimination in the present, and we need to solve present discrimination with discrimination in the future.
It's madness.
And it's the whole idea that when you look at we don't have institutional racism. The only institutional racism we have is affirmative action. And that's just a fact. Okay. That's racist.
Yeah.
Now we've decided that's something we're going to do. I think it has some real downsides for everybody, but we are where we are.
Yes.
And then we have one other system that consistently oppresses black and brown children, especially low income ones, by assigning them a school based on their zip code.
Yes.
So we should fix that through school choice. That would be the way to fix that. But in society at large, you're taking what is an individual characteristic, being a bigot or being a racist, right? And assigning it to society as like original sin. Like, and then you're doing it to children. You're telling children these things. I mean, there was content after the George Floyd trial, that Chauvin's trial, developed for kindergartners in Philadelphia trying to explain that situation to them when most adults don't get it.
Then you're just in the land of indoctrination, and it's a bad place to be.
But the fact that we shouldn't be assigning behaviors and characteristics to children based on how they look seriously should be non-controversial. This should not even be a discussion we're having.
Yes, and it's amazing that it's gotten as far as it has, and it's gotten as big as it has, and it's as popular on the left as it is, and there's people who are just, they're like way into it, and they're all for it, and we have to do everything we can to keep this out of schools. And why would you want to do that to a kid? I want to make you all feel bad, probably for the rest of your lives, by teaching you that you came into this world just a horrible person. And there's nothing you can do except recognize that you're a horrible person and live the rest of your life trying to atone for the fact that you were thrust upon us all as a horrible person. My God, please cover up. I can't look at you anymore. You horrible, horrible person. Like, who would want to do that? It's like making the kids wear masks. Like, who, what, why would you, what is the upside to any of it other than somebody's going to make a big pile of money? Somebody from Black Lives Matter is going to get another giant house, or some professor is going to get to write another book, and then they're going to realize, and I think we were saying this last week, did everybody forget the self-esteem movement? Remember when that was like, we have to make sure all these kids feel good about themselves. We're not going to keep score anymore in soccer games because every kid needs to think they're a winner. Like, that seems like it was just yesterday in schools. And now they've completely done this. Oh, sorry, we told you guys you were all winners. Sorry, you're actually all horrible people. You're all horrible. You guys are oppressors, and you're oppressed. Sorry, it's just like it's the worst flip-flop ever.
I used to call it the soft bigotry of low expectations. Now I just call it the blatant bigotry of no expectations.
Right? Yeah.
Like, that's what happened all last summer.
Yes.
Summer. We're going to excuse this rioting and looting because what else are people supposed to do? How about almost anything else? Like, almost anything else they could have done would have been better.
Yeah, it's these horrible, and hopefully this will be like a big, start a big shift back to more like common sense, but it's always some frickin' brainiac loser professor at some Ivy League school. They have to publish a paper. They got some crazy theory that they came up with, but they can get enough data to kind of fudge it and back it up. And then it somehow takes root, and then it just becomes this big giant weed that takes over the whole garden that is the United States.
And if you look at, like, if you need to understand how awful the scholarship in these academic areas actually is, all you have to do is go back and read about the hoax papers that James Lindsay, Helen Pluckrose, and Peter Boghossian did. I mean, they literally wrote about how dog parks encourage rape culture.
Yes.
And it got in.
Yes. They did a bunch of, you know what, we should bring those back up again, the hoax papers. I know we did a thing about that like a year and a half ago, but we should revisit the hoax papers. People need to be reminded of that, it's just, these academic papers are just beyond ridiculous. They're beyond ridiculous, and some good people made fun of them in the best way, by making these ridiculous papers and these ridiculous theories, and they all got patted on the back for their brilliant insights, and they were all ridiculous, making fun of the people and the system. Okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to take another little break. We're going to do What's on the Web with Paul. It's a good one. They're always good. This one shines a little bit brighter. There's heart. And then we're going to continue the conversation over on Patreon, where I know all y'all want to be anyway. So join us over there, and we will be right back.
Get to Kohl's and take an extra 25% off Adidas for the entire family. Plus, with an extra 15% off, get up to 50% off the Big One bedding. And save on Nike athletic shoes for kids. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, limited contact store drive-up. Right now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid July 17th through July 26th. 15% offer with promo code Big Savings. 25% off Adidas. Offers and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
The big question that we love to answer every week, of course, is what's on the web? We do this with our friend Paul in a segment that we call What's on the Web with Paul. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm up here in the country. I got maple syrup in my veins. I got chipmunks and squirrels running around.
That's great. Love to
hear it. It is great. So what's on the web, man? What are we talking about? What's got you excited?
Well, the first thing we should talk about is Lori Lightfoot. We put up two posts about her this week. She, of course, is the mayor of Chicago.
Yes.
And basically what she said is, if you're white, I'm not going to give an interview to you. So what do you have to say about that?
I had two takes on this. Well, and first of all, it's just insanely racist. And to call it anything else is just silly. It's just completely silly. When you're like literally judging people on the color of their skin, I don't know how else, you know. She says she's making a point about diversity and yeah. Is that, and then, which led me to this week's or Friday's video, which just tickled me to death. It's like of all the problems you have in Chicago, she's putting the diversity of journalists as at front and center. Listen, forget about the shootings, forget about the crime, forget about the city falling into decay. You guys, we should be thinking about the color of the skin of the journalists. So I just thought it was just completely ridiculous. And what a failure. What a complete and total failure she is. It's hilarious. It's sad for the people of Chicago. I love that town. I love that city. But they gotta do something about Lori Lightfoot. And she does. She looks like Beetlejuice. So, of course, I made some jokes there.
You're right, of course. But other people would hesitate to call her racist because she's black. And then you can never call a black person racist. And I've seen it throughout my entire time with conservatism. So I was glad to see you just outright say it. She's racist.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to talk to a reporter who has this color skin. Like, what else is that? What else can you possibly call it?
You're right. It's an easy call, and conservatives just shy away from it because they're conservatives.
I don't see how else you divvy it up. Okay. So what's going on besides Gollum in Chicago?
I solved the problem of equal pay for women in professional sports, and I wrote a little piece, very short, called Let Men Compete in Women's Sports After All. Okay. And the short of it is, I'll give you the short of it, then see if you think it's my solution is good or not, is if you allow, you know, they're now talking about they want men who say they're women to compete in weightlifting and other sports in the Olympics. And this has been going on for some time. So I finally reached the point where I said, yes, go ahead. Because what you'll do is the men will then dominate, which will encourage more men to come in, which will eventually eliminate all women. And then you'll no longer have women complaining about wanting equal pay compared to the male athletes, because there will be no more women in women's sports. And you'll have no more people like Megan Rapinoe lecturing us on how great she is, even though her team lost to a 12-year-old or 14-year-old boys soccer team. But it solves a problem. What do you think about that?
I think it's hilarious. And it would, like, let's just listen, if you, and that's, it's funny that, like, that was your take on the, on your article, but, like, I would do a bit about that in stand up. Like, okay. Like, if you can imagine, like, you're going to be on the men's Olympic team and you've trained your whole life and they only have three spots, and you come in fourth. And you're like, oh no, there goes my life's dream. There goes my dream. I've been training for this for a year. You know what? Throw on a dress, call yourself a girl, and then go for the gold.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. And to me, this is my way of giving progressives everything they want. And of course, they're not going to be happy. They're going to get, they're of course going to, they would, if we would push this, you know, with a straight face, they of course wouldn't be happy, because we're not, even though we're giving them everything we want, we're not thinking about it in the right way. And that's what makes it hilarious.
Yeah. Like, and I love that idea, like in reality and comedically, it's like, oh, this is what you want. All right, let's do it. Let's do it and see how it goes. I think you're going to be surprised.
So just a little bit of way to combine fun with politics, but
yeah, good call.
Let's move on to just pure out fun stuff next.
Love it.
Lisa Kay, for fan film creators, the force has always been strong. And what the post is about is, I think it was four, maybe five, but I'm pretty sure it was four fan-made Star Wars films. And they're actually good. I don't think I ever heard of any of them. It will combine with another post after that, but I want to look at her post first. I actually watched the Darth Maul fan-made film, and it was probably better than, you know, anything since the original trilogy. I don't know about that, but what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, this is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. When I was a little kid, Star Wars came out and blew my mind. And then I wanted the models. I think I've said this before on the podcast, and the models didn't exist. So I started just building my own. And I made this, it was trial and error, but I built a Star Destroyer, you know, but out of cardboard and junk. And then I had the idea, as years went on, like, oh, I'd like to do a movie. I'd like to do my own, you know, movie of this, and was talking to my dad about it. And so this is like one of my, it's a great memory of me and my dad. And of all the things that he latched on to, he really latched on to trying to do like a Star Wars short film. So this is going to get long and involved. Long story short, we got a shower curtain. My dad got this giant, built this giant frame. It was so long and so involved, Paul. We, out of a National Geographic, I took a picture of outer space. Then we had those developed and turned into slides. Then I had this big clear shower curtain that was like on a, you know, a 6x8 frame, and it was very tight. Then I would rear project the slide projection of outer space, hung my model and other models that I had made on fishing line off of dowel rod so I could move them past the camera. And my dad helped me out with this. Like, he had the idea for the dowel rod and the fishing line and blah, 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 blah. And, dude, then I took different lengths of yarn. And I rolled the yarn in, like, Elmer's school glue. Then I rolled it in glitter. So that would be the laser shots. So all I wanted was a Star Destroyer to chase a ship over the camera with space in the background. This entire process, I'm not kidding you, took months. And I ended up with, we got the film developed. It was stop motion animation. I think I had maybe 4 seconds or 5 seconds of like a Star Destroyer launching. So that was what's involved in that. So when I see Star Wars stuff now, and I'm just blown away at what these kids can do with, like, I've got some makeup, I've got a phone, I've got the editing software, and they're doing special effects that are just jaw-droppingly good. On one hand, I'm so jealous that they can do it, and but on the other hand, it's fantastic that they can. I did an article about Bucketheads, which is about, you know, these are the stormtroopers and they're on, you know, the planet with the Ewoks right before the, you know, the second Death Star. It's fantastic. It's great. And I remember this goes back years, but Lisa did one of the short films in hers was I think it was Pink Five, which was like, it's the attack on the Death Star and it's a Valley girl behind the control. And she's like, this is Pink Five. You guys, are we serious? Are we attacking now or what? Hilarious. And just, we're living in this golden age where you could be sitting in the middle of nowhere Alabama or nowhere Hawaii or Alaska, and you can make whatever you want. The tools are all there. You don't have to get a shower curtain and hang it up, and it's fantastic. And I love that it's the Star Wars community that does it. Because George Lucas is super cool that way. You know, he never sued. Back in the, I think the first, one of the first ones that they did a spoof of the show Cops, and it was called Troops. And it was hilarious, and it was great. And 20th Century Fox and some people at Lucasfilms wanted to sue and shut it down and not let it go. And George Lucas, this is one, like, people crap all over him for a lot of stuff. But one of the very cool things that he did is like, no, don't sue them. Don't sue them. This is good. This is creative. You know, let it go. I believe they used to. They might not have done it this year because of COVID. They used to have an awards ceremony at Skywalker Ranch for the best fan film. It's so cool. I could talk about this all day. We have to move on. But I think it's fantastic.
Great stories. Good stories. I like hearing about the story with your dad, too. That was a good story.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did you want to talk more about Bucketheads, or are you just going to leave it at that?
I think Bucketheads, that goes in with, like, it's a series. These guys, right. I doff my cap to them. Like, not only are they doing a fan film, they're doing a fan series, which is, like, it's awesome. It's great.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's move on. Again, people can find out more about both that stuff by visiting theloftistparty.com.
Yeah. So
go check that out. Go check out both of those. There's two separate posts on that. But the next one we got on our agenda for today is the best pint glasses ever. And this is very specific to the Loftist Party. What's that all about?
Well, check this out. So, like, all our merchandise is over at Teespring. And so, you know, we do the T-shirts, we do the hoodies. There's, you know, coffee mugs and stuff. And someone, I do the live stream every Wednesday night. And a couple weeks ago, someone commented on the live stream. They're like, man, it's too bad you don't have glassware. I would totally buy it. You know, I'd go out, I could sit on the patio and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, whatever, they didn't make it. Then I get this email from Teespring going, hey, you've got merchandise here. We are now doing pint glasses. And I was like, ooh. So I get on there and I've got the little, like, the vector file with the Loftist Party logo on there. So, like, I literally, like, ooh, that's too big. Ooh, that's too small. That's not in the right space. So I should move it up here. So this is, like, I designed them, yo. I designed them. And I think they look great.
Yep.
I think they came out wonderfully.
Yep. I'm buying merchandise right there. Yep.
Yeah. I really wish, the only thing I wish they had, women's underwear. That would be perfect. I want women's thong underwear with serious happiness printed across the front with the tiger head. That would be great. Where I like cookies.
Well, speaking of women, we have women at the Loftist Party. There's a Russian woman named Helen Stifler, and she looks stunningly like these two MCU actresses. The one is, she looks like Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Yes.
But even more so, she put up a photo of her where she looks even more like Elizabeth Olsen as Elizabeth Olsen. I thought that was strikingly similar. I can't recall when I've ever seen somebody look that close, at least not for a long time. She really was her doppelganger in that photo.
There's another cosplayer, and like I was really struck by Helen Stifler for the very same reason that you are. And I can't remember this other girl. She does a lot of cosplay, but like Helen Stifler, she knows like the subtleties of makeup and how to work the camera. And it is uncanny how you have, okay, so these are your facial features, but then they can use makeup and the camera and you're blown away. You're like, wow, that is like, for if you look at it fast, you're like, yeah, that's totally a different human being. It's wild. I think that stuff is insanely cool. I really dig it.
And again, you're kind of getting this stuff from just everyday people. They're not necessarily trained makeup artists or seamstresses. These are people who just have dedicated themselves to figuring out how to do this stuff.
Yeah, which is to me is fantastic. And the other girl, and I should look it up, I stumbled across her because Wonder Woman was coming out, the first one. And this girl had, you know, she had created the Wonder Woman outfit and, you know, she's smoking hot and all that other stuff. But she looked exactly like Gal Gadot or Godot, however you say it. And then you look at the before and after pictures and you're like, that's amazing. That's an incredible talent. That's artistry. No lie.
Yep. So people can head to theleftistparty.com to check out more of that. Next up, we're going on to video game. And I can actually relate to this post that you wrote. You wrote about Biomutant official gameplay overview trailer. And then you put in parentheses, cautious optimism. And the reason you did that is you're concerned about how they're going to handle the controls. Are they going to make the controls something where it's a challenge, but you can play it? Or the controls going to be so complicated, it just ends up being mashing down a bunch of buttons to do whatever the move that you're supposed to do. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's the danger. And this actually goes to like the political aspect of the Loftus Party as well. It's like with politics and big government, you're like, oh, we need, you know, there's a problem, or whether they pretend there's a problem and then they come up with a solution. The solution's always too big and it's always too much money and it's always too complicated, and just like, keep it simple, stupid, keep it simple, stupid. Sometimes less is more. This, I really enjoyed Zelda on the Nintendo Switch. It was just wonderful and beautiful and fun and exciting and everything. And I think that they were right on the edge of the complexity of the buttons. Okay, I got to hit this button to get up my bow and arrow, and then use this button to scroll over because I don't want to use this arrow. I want to use that arrow. There's a lot of like, I was like, not redlining, but close to understanding. You press up here, you press down there, you click this button, and that'll get you to your grenades or whatever. So this Biomutant's coming out, and it's a big, big open world. I think it's like eight kilometers by 8 kilometers. It's a big, big open world, and you go around, you have adventures, and then, like with Zelda, you're just Link. You don't select different attributes, but this one, oh, you got to do different attributes, and here's how you do. Oh, here's how much charisma, here's how much strength, here's much intelligence, here's how much luck. Already I'm getting worried. And then like, oh, you can, you're, you know, you'll mutate and you can add this onto your weapons and you can do this. And you, the more I hear about all these little bells and whistles, I'm like, you're gonna kill the fun of the game. Listen, I just want to be my little like rabbit, raccoon, creature, mutant thing, and I want to go out and have adventures and beat up bad guys. I don't need to like change the freaking decoration on the brooch that I fat like it's you're getting. That's my big fear. They're going to have this big, wonderful open world. It's going to look spectacular. The story's going to be great. But I'm going to be just like, it's just too many buttons, guy. I'm out. When you got all these buttons and all these choices. And it's like I compared it to Madden. I used to love Madden NFL. I used to love it. And then they got to this hyper real thing where like, okay, now you have to recruit a player. And then you got to, who's your trainer going to be? And here's, it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to deal with a computer player who's battling drug addiction and his family lost their house. And now, like, no, just Let me just throw the ball to this guy and have him run fast. How about that? How about you? I mean, you give me like 20 plays. You give the defense 20 plays. Let's have some fun. I don't want to spend my afternoon designing helmets.
Right. Do you think they sometimes do that, though, to appeal to professional gamers? Is it perhaps professional gamers are like, nah, we need more options? Do you think that's an issue?
No. I think it's just a matter of, like, you go, well, if I'm going to build a house, I might as well, you know, build a porch. And if I'm going to build a porch, I might as well screen it in. And if I'm going to screen in the thing, I might as well build another garage. And then we should have a little, it's just, you're like, I'm up to it already. We might as well do this as well. And then you can rationalize all these things. Oh, we're pushing the envelope, and players, studies show that players love to have these choices. And it's like Jurassic Park, man. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And listen, you can always do downloadable content, right? You can always do a mod. Like, if you keep Biomutant super simple, and of course this is horrible, I'm judging the game before I played a moment of it. I could be wrong about all of this. I really could. It might be the best game ever made. I'm just talking about my fears and stuff. But if you keep Biomutant super simple, and you keep it like Legend of Zelda in terms of the mechanics and how it works and the buttons and the options, listen, you can always come out with Biomutant 2 and have it be a downloadable thing. And, oh, now we've added this element where if you press this button 4 times and click this and stand on 1 foot and scratch your nostril, you know, your character does X, Y, and Z. You can always add that stuff later. And I just – sometimes, you know, these AAA games, they just come out and – they swing for the fences and they do too much and it gets too complex and it just ruins everything, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And that's a good point. So good stuff. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have time for one more.
We have time for one more, Paul Hare.
All right. I'm going to have to go with watch this video, Chet Faker Gold. And the reason I have to go with that is because when I saw it, it's a music video. And I thought, why? Why do I have to watch it? How good can it be? You know, it's a music video. But when I watched it, it actually was a good music video. It was unique. And that's hard to say now because everything has pretty much been done, but they managed to do something unique with that video.
That's too funny that you brought this up because that's the one that I wanted to talk about as well. I'm hanging out with my buddy at his place in Vermont, and I was telling him about this video as well. Like, you've got to see this. I'd seen this before. I'd seen it years ago. Then I stumbled across it again. I'm like, ooh, I should post that to the website. It's beautiful. It's cinematic. And there's like an eerie, like a dark, almost like a dangerous beauty to it. And it's really, I did a little bit of research into it. And it's, if you guys don't know, for you listeners, it's a dark highway. You can't see anything. And there's like one little pool of light that's coming off of a truck or a car or whatever, and it's going down the freeway, and the light's coming from behind. So you're seeing everything, you know, something's like chasing the car behind the car. And out of the darkness comes this girl on roller skates. And she's like, as the car's moving forward and the road is going by, this girl's just roller skating and like hypnotically, sensually, like roller skating along with the music. And then her two friends come out of the darkness and there's like this weird kind of sexy, cool dance. And it turns out that none of this is by accident. And yes, it looks cool, but the filmmaker was doing a shout out to the sirens of Greek mythology. That's what it's all about. Like, beware the siren song and all that stuff. And it's just, it's very cool. And it's very simple. And it probably cost a nickel. And it's, in my opinion, a timeless classic. You gotta see it.
Yep, good video. So that's absolutely just some of the stuff that was on theloftistparty.com this week.
Yeah, and like, there's good stuff every week. We love you guys coming by. We love the comments. If you got ideas for stuff, goodness gracious, shoot me an email. Email me at theboss@theloftistparty.com. If you know of like a business or something cool or a piece of art or whatever, we'll jump in. We'll cover it. We're cool like that. All right, Paul, love you, buddy. Have a good one. I will talk to you soon. And thanks for telling us what's on the web.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. We'll see everyone else over on Patreon. Come on back.